This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين. All praise is due to Allah and may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon Prophet Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم and upon all the prophets and messengers that were sent to mankind. My dear respected brothers and sisters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Today, inshallah ta'ala, we are going to explore yet another concept in Islam. And this concept, Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullahu ta'ala, included it in his book, Riyadu al-Salihin. In this chapter, he entitles it Bab al-Yaqini wa Tawakkul. Bab al-Yaqini wa Tawakkul, which means the chapter pertaining to firm belief or certainty, or the word here is Yaqeen, and Tawakkul, and perfect reliance on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Perfect reliance. So the compiler, Imam al-Nawawi, has combined two concepts in one chapter. And this is from his fiqh. This is from his deep understanding of the deen. And here he's compiling the concept. Here he wants to include some verses from the Quran and hadiths, prophetic traditions from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that deal with yaqeen and tawakkul. Yaqeen, tawakkul. Now the reason why he's mentioned these two together is because tawakkul is one of the fruits and the outcomes that take place and happen when you have yaqeen, when you have yaqeen or certainty. So what is this word yaqeen? What is this concept of yaqeen all about? Yaqeen is when you have firm belief, iman, steadfastness in the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam have spoken about or have prophesied. Those things that we see and those things that we don't see. So with regards to those things that we cannot see, your yaqeen allows you to believe in them and to view them as if you are actually seeing them. That's yaqeen. Even though you can't see them. I mean, we didn't see Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We can't see Jibreel. We certainly can't see Allah Azza wa Jalla in this life. But we have yaqeen that they are true. That's yaqeen. It's having that certainty without any doubt that they exist or they existed or they will happen, whether we can see them or not. That's your yaqeen. So yaqeen is about having sure certainty without any doubt. The person who has this trait, as we said, views the unseen that is mentioned in the Quran or mentioned in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as if it is something that they can see. And this is the highest level of iman. You see, when it comes to the teachings of Islam, there are three levels. Level one, we have Islam. Level two, which is higher, iman, belief. And then there's a third level. That third level is known as Ihsan. Ihsan includes both Islam and Iman. It includes both Islam and Iman. So Islam, Iman, Ihsan. And when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was asked about Ihsan, he said it is to worship Allah as if you can see Him. Though you see Him not, you know for surety that He sees you. That's what Ihsan is. That's the highest level. That's the highest level. Believing in that which you cannot see. Yet we know Allah Azza wa Jalla exists through His signs, through the prophets and messengers that He sent, through the scriptures that He sent, and that He revealed on this earth. This is how we know about the existence of Allah Azza wa Jalla. So once you have this now yaqeen, once you have this certainty, this will give birth to what? It will give birth to tawakkul. Tawakkul, reliance, dependence on the Almighty, on Allah Azza wa Jal, on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's very important to have this certainty in the teachings of Allah Azza wa Jal. Once you have that certainty, you're going to make your life easier. You're going to become more accepting of so many things that happen around you and that are happening to you. So you'll start to depend on Allah Azza wa Jal inwardly and outwardly. In Surah At-Talaq, which means divorce, At-Talaq, in the third verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُهُ. Whoever depends or relies on Allah Azza wa Jal, then He is sufficient for him. Allah is sufficient for this person. But you have to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And through yaqeen and tawakkul, a believer will find rest. When you believe and you submit and you surrender and you obey Allah Azza wa Jal, you're going to find rest. You're going to know that whatever befalls you was never meant to miss you. Whatever missed you was never meant to befall you. As the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said in another hadith that we mentioned earlier. So you find through yaqeen and through tawakkul, you will find peace and of mind, and you'll find rest in this life, because you know that everything that happens, happens with the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal, happens through the decree of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now the first verse that Imam An-Nawawi, he chose for this chapter, he mentions a verse from Surah Al-Ahzab, and the verse number is 22, Al-Ahzab. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابَ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. Allah in the Quran, Surah Al-Ahzab, He says, and when the believers saw the Ahzab, what are Ahzab? Ahzab are companies or groups. Confederates is one translation. And when the believers saw the Ahzab, saw these groups, they said, this is what Allah and His Messenger had promised us. And Allah and His Messenger spoke the truth. And it increased them only in faith and acceptance. So what's this talking about? What's the backdrop? What's the background to this ayah? Al-Ahzab are groups from various tribes who gathered to attack and to fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and his companions. They were some 10,000 soldiers or fighters strong from the Quraysh and others, gathering to attack the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to annihilate Islam, to bring it to an end. What did they do? They surrounded Medina. They surrounded Medina, and what happened is that the Sahaba, many of them fell into despair and were shaken. You know, we're about to be attacked, and this could be the end of Islam and the Muslims. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the 10th verse in Surah Al-Ahzab, He says, إِذْ جَاءُوكُمْ مِنْ فَوْقِكُمْ وَمِنْ أَسْفَلَ مِنْكُمْ وَإِذْ زَاغَتِ الْأَبْصَارُ وَبَلَغَتِ الْقُلُوبُ الْحَنَاجِرُ وَتَظُنُّونَ بِاللَّهِ الظُّنُونَ. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us what's taking place amongst the Sahaba when these confederates, these Ahzab, have gathered. Allah says, remember when they came at you, they came at you from above you and from below you. And when eyes shifted in fear, this is the eyes of the believers, and the hearts reached the throats. They were so like, they felt like they were choking. And the hearts reached the throats. And you assumed about Allah various assumptions. What's going to happen? Is this the end? What's Allah going to do to us? Various assumptions. The next verse Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, هُنَالِكَ ابْتُلِيَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. Allah says, there the believers were tested and shaken with a severe shaking. So what happened? The Sahaba, the companions of Rasulullah ﷺ, were divided into two groups or two parties. There were those, the first group are those who are the hypocrites, the munafiqun. The hypocrites and those with diseased hearts. Allah says, وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, this is in the next verse, verse 12, وَإِذْ يَقُولُ الْمُنَافِقُونَ وَالَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ مَرَضٌ مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ إِلَّا غُرُورًا. And remember when the hypocrites and those in whose heart is disease, they said, Allah and His Messenger did not promise us except delusion. That's what they said about Allah. They're the ones who are the hypocrites. This is the first group. The hypocrites and those who have diseased hearts. So what is a hypocrite in Islam? A hypocrite is a person who manifests, who shows outwardly that they are a believer. I'm a Muslim. I'm a mu'min. I pray. I do this. I do what a Muslim does. But they conceal, they hide their kufr. They conceal, they hide their disbelief. Because your belief, its storehouse is your heart. Your iman, it's in the heart. No one can really see whether you're a believer or not. So they said that what Allah has promised us is delusion. They said basically, how is it that Muhammad ﷺ says he will conquer Kisra and Qaisar and Sana'a in Yemen? You know, Caesar and Sana'a, Sinai, and he is surrounded by these groups now. How is it that's going to happen? They don't have belief in what Allah has promised, in the victory that is going to come to the Muslims. That's the first group. The second group that I spoke to you about earlier, about the second party, are the mu'minun, are the believers now. So we have munafiqun and we have mu'minun, believers. Listen to what verse 22 says, وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ. But the believers, when they saw the ahzab, قَالُوا, they said, هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. This is what Allah and His Messenger promised. وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ. And Allah and His Messenger have spoken the truth. وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. And it increased them only in faith and acceptance. Now look at the difference between the two parties. It's a difference, the difference between like that of darkness and light. So this group, the mu'minun, the believers, when they saw the ahzab, they were certain that after this trial was going to come the victory and the ease, and that they will conquer the regions and the cities that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had prophesied to be conquered. And this is exactly what eventuated. This is exactly what happened. They did conquer them. The main point that Imam An-Nawawi now is alluding to, why did he choose this ayah in this chapter of Yaqeen and Tawakkul? The main point is, okay, that وَلَمَّا رَأَى الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الْأَحْزَابِ قَالُوا هَذَا مَا وَعَدَنَا اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَصَدَقَ اللَّهُ وَرَسُولُهُ وَمَا زَادَهُمْ إِلَّا إِيمَانًا وَتَسْلِيمًا. This is the highest level of iman, that you accept. that you accept, even though you cannot see, you cannot see the light yourself, that you accept that wherever Allah Azza wa Jal has prophesied will happen, without a shadow of doubt, whether you can see it coming or not. This is tawakkul, and this is the yaqeen. This is the certainty in what Allah Azza wa Jal and His Messenger Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has said. Now, during times of hardship and adversity, which we'll all go through some struggle in life, a Muslim or a person should have a positive opinion of Allah Azza wa Jal. Have firm faith, have steadfastness. Not to, you know, sell out their iman, sell out their faith because they are going through a hardship. Just because you're going through hardship or a trial or a calamity, don't lose hope in Allah Azza wa Jal. And this is what happens to many people. They become weak and they lose all hope and they fall into despair. And then they fall into what? They fall into error and they fall into destruction. They probably apostate. They become kafirs. Because they're not holding on firm to the words of Allah Azza wa Jal. In Surah Al-Hajj, verse 11, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَمِنَ النَّاسِ مَنْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهَ عَلَى حَرْفٍ فَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ خَيْرٌ اطْمَأَنَّ بِهِ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ فِتْنَةٌ انْقَلَبَ عَلَى وَجْهِهِ خَسِرَ الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. Allah Azza wa Jal says, and of the people, there are some people who worship Allah on the edge. So, you're about to fall off, just on the border. Those people, if he is touched by good, he is reassured by it. Good things happen, no problem. But if he is struck by a trial, he turns on his face to the other direction, he has lost. He has become a loser in this life and in the hereafter. Because he didn't remain steadfast, didn't remain firm. That is what is the manifest loss. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, ذَلِكَ هُوَ الْخُسْرَانُ الْمُبِينَ. That's the worst. The worst loss that you could go through. There are many people, alhamdulillah, who are in a good state. A good state of affairs. They are in well-being. They have good sahha, good health. Things are going well for them. And as soon, however, as they are afflicted with a trial or a calamity or some sort of challenge in their life, they don't react in the proper way, which leads some of them, as I said, to even apostate. They don't want to be part of the faith. But we need to remember that this life is plagued with struggles and hardships. And that the only time that we will find rest, complete rest and tranquility, is in the hereafter once you place your foot in Jannah. Otherwise, be prepared. Be prepared that you will go through a loss, hardship, misfortune. Something's going to happen. It happened to the prophets and messengers. It happened to the Sahaba. It happened to those who follow in their footsteps. To the best of people it happened to. And we have to have, it could be that you will have a difficult child. Allah Azza wa Jal might decree for you to have a child with a disability that you have to now look after for the rest of your life. You were expecting a healthy child and Allah Azza wa Jal had planned something else for you. It could be loss of wealth. It could be a problem that you have with your own health. It could be many, many misfortunes that you go through in your life. But we need to be prepared and we need to be steadfast, insha'Allah ta'ala. So we shouldn't hate what Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed for us. Because what Allah decrees for us could actually be good for us. Sometimes that which you hate is actually a blessing. So that misfortune is actually a misfortune in disguise. It's actually a blessing. And what appears to be a blessing sometimes is actually a misfortune in disguise. We need to be ready, inshaAllah ta'ala. So these verses and similar ones teach us that we must always beware of our hearts from, you know, becoming misguided and derailing from our faith. A Muslim must always ask Allah Azza wa Jal to make his heart steadfast. And there are many ad'iyah that we learn from the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, supplications, which teach us to have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, dependence on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for our hearts to be steadfast. For example, very simple dua. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam used to say, Ya muqallib al qulubi, thabbit qalbi ala deenik. O turner of the hearts, make my heart steadfast on your faith, on your deen. Allah Azza wa Jal is the turner of hearts. And that's why we need to have, this is why this is a very important topic, talking about reliance on Allah Azza wa Jal and dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal. The next ayah that Imam An-Nawawi mentioned, under the topic of firm belief and perfect reliance, is the ayah from Ali Imran, verse 173, whereby Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمَعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. Remember these words. حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. This ayah translates that those to whom the hypocrites said, indeed, the people have gathered against you, so fear them, but it merely increased them in faith. And they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. Now, what is the background of this verse? This verse was revealed with regards to the Sahaba when they went through the hardships and losses of Uhud. When the Sahaba fought in Uhud, which is the second great battle in Islam, they were struck with injury. And unfortunately, during this battle, 70 of the Sahaba died, or they were martyred, shaheed, 70 of them. So it was a big blow for the Muslims at that time. And it was said to them after this battle that Abu Sufyan and the chiefs of Quraysh were planning another attack. So they already feel somewhat defeated because of the loss of these 70 Sahaba. And so now news reached them that Abu Sufyan and the chiefs of Quraysh, they're coming now. While they're in this state, they're going to come, they're going to attack you to try and bring an end to Islam and the Muslims. And so they wanted to wipe them out. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he instructed them to prepare themselves against their enemies, and they responded without any hesitation. And don't forget, during the battle of Uhud, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself was injured. And this is the battle in which Hamza, the uncle of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, was also martyred. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in Surah Ali Imran, verse 172, He tells us the response of these companions. الَّذِينَ اسْتَجَابُوا لِلَّهِ وَالرَّسُولِ مِنْ بَعْدِ مَا أَصَابَهُمُ الْقَرْحِ لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُ مِنْهُمْ وَاتَّقَوْا أَجْرٌ عَظِيمٌ. Those, in other words, the believers, who responded to Allah and the Messenger after injury had struck them. For those who did good among them and feared Allah is a great reward. So, it was actually said to the Sahaba, fear them. Fear those people who are coming to attack you. Fear them. However, they were fueled with Iman. Instead of fearing, they said, no. We are going, our Iman, they increased them, their in belief. This talk only increased them in belief, in Iman. Because every time a believer goes through hardships and tests, his iman should increase. His iman shouldn't decrease. The challenge is to keep your iman high and strong through yaqeen, through tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, the Muslim has yaqeen that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make him victorious and successful. And this happens through sabr. And this happens through patience. And that for success to come, there must be some hardship. And after hardship comes ease. As we learn, an-nasru ma'a sabr. Wa anna al-faraja ma'a al-karb. Wa anna ma'a al-usri yusra. وَأَنَّ مَعَ الْعُسْرِ يُسْرًا. And that after hardship, there comes ease. That's what Allah Azza wa Jal tells us in the Qur'an. Yes, the success and the victory could be just around the corner, but many of us are hasty. And we throw it in. And we forfeit a great deal of reward. And we forfeit a positive outcome, which was just around the corner. And that's why we have to exercise patience. You see how all these things are interconnected? Sabr, patience, yaqeen, certainty, tawakkul, dependence on Allah Azza wa Jal. These are all concepts that Imam An-Nawawi has included in Riyadhus Salihin as chapters because of their importance, and they are connected to one another. So what did they say? What did they say? They said, حَسْبُنَ اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ. When they heard about this attack, they said, sufficient for us is Allah, and He is the best disposer of affairs. The result of this increased iman and dependence on Allah, what happened? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in verse 174 of Ali Imran, فانقلبوا بنعمة من الله وفضل لم يمسسهم سوء واتبعوا رضوان الله والله ذو فضل عظيم. So they turned with favor from Allah and bounty. No harm having touched them. And they pursued the pleasure of Allah, and Allah is the possessor of great bounty. So what happened? The mu'minun, the believers, those who fought in Uhud and were struck with injuries and the loss of the 70 of the Sahaba, they set out to fight Abu Sufyan. They set out to fight Abu Sufyan and his army. However, guess what? They were not there. They were not there. They had retreated. They had gone back. Change of mind. They went back and decided not to fight the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the companions. And so it was actually recorded for the Sahaba as if they had fought in a ghazwa, in a battle. They had the reward of a ghazwa, because innama al-a'malu bin-niyat, actions are based upon the intentions. So it was counted for them as a battle that they have fought in, even though they did not fight in it. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَانْقَلَبُوا بِنِعْمَةٍ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَفَضْلٍ لَمْ يَمْسَسْهُنْ سُوءٌ. So they returned with favor from Allah and bounty, no harm having touched them. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُم مُؤْمِنِينَ. That is only shaytan. That is only the Satan who frightens you. That fear that you have is coming from the shaitan. Satan, the whispers of the shaitan. The whisperings of the shaitan. No, don't do this. You might go through this loss. This is what might happen to you. So Allah says, that is only shaitan who frightens you of his supporters. Shaitan and his supporters try and frighten you. So fear them not. But fear me, fear Allah Azza wa Jal. Be conscious of Allah Azza wa Jal. If you are indeed believers. The mu'min is the one who has the fear of Allah Azza wa Jal first and foremost. And he speaks the truth. And he does not fear the blame of anybody who's going to blame him, but he speaks the truth. Even if it's towards a tyrant, an oppressor, not fearing for your life, but always speaking the truth and defending the truth. The next verse that Imam al-Nawawi he mentioned is from Surah Al-Furqan. Al-Furqan, verse 58. وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِهِ وَكَفَى بِهِ بِذُنُوبِ عِبَادِهِ خَبِيرًا. And rely upon the ever-living who does not die. In other words, rely on Allah Azza wa Jalla. Reliance on Allah. Depend on Allah. Have tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And exalt with his praise. In other words, exalt Allah with his praise. And sufficient is he to be with the sins of his servants acquainted. So in other words, depend and rely on Allah for all of your affairs. The small ones, the baby ones, and the large ones, and the huge ones. All affairs, put your trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. If Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has not decreed for it to be easy for you, then it's not going to be easy. No matter how many people gather to try and make it easy for you, as we've seen in the previous hadith of previous lectures, that if all the people were together to benefit you, and Allah has not decreed for you to be benefited with that thing, you will not benefit. And if all the people in the world, if all the people gathered to try and harm you, they will not harm you if Allah Azza wa Jal has not decreed for you to be harmed. So, there is also proof in this verse that Allah Azza wa Jal will never die or cease to exist. Our Creator, Allah. Allah never dies. Allah will never cease to exist. Allah has no beginning. Allah has no end. He's perfect. He's our Creator. He doesn't sleep. He doesn't get tired. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, in the greatest ayah in the Quran, verse 255, he says, الله لا إله إلا هو الحي القيوم لا تأخذه سنة ولا نوم. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, this is at the close of the rest of it. Allah, there is no deity, in other words, there is no God worthy of worship except Him. الله لا إله إلا هو لا إله إلا هو. Wallahi, this morning, yani coming here to this lecture, on the phone I had a sister give me a call. And she said to me, I don't have a religion. I don't have a religion. And I have also lost my son. Her son, one day old, died. And she said to me, and I've come across some Muslims and I've started to read about Islam and look into Islam. And she goes and she says, I know there is a God out there. And that is the fitrah. She says, I believe that there is a God. And so alhamdulillah, we're talking to her and telling her about Arkan al-Iman and the pillars of faith. I said to her, are you ready to embrace Islam? If this is what you believe, if you believe there's one God, Allah, if you believe in the angels, if you believe that in the prophets that was sent to mankind, Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is the last and the seal of all the prophets and messengers, if you believe in all the books and scriptures, and the Quran is the seal of these scriptures, and you believe in the day of judgment, you believe that there's going to be heaven and hell, you believe that Allah Azza wa Jal has decreed all, He knows all, He knows what's happening in the future. Do you believe this? He said, yes. I said, do you want to say, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammad rasulullah, wallahi alladhi la ilaha illahu. Just before I came here, she said, ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa ashhadu anna Muhammad rasulullah. People are ready to embrace Islam. People are ready to embrace, but we have to talk to them. This is no need for any sort of yani magical words. Just the truth. The truth is powerful enough. The truth is powerful. Just say it as it is. So, my dear brothers and sisters in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will continue, will live forever. There's no beginning or end. Doesn't die. As this verse, وَتَوَكَّلْ and depend عَلَى الْحَيِّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ, upon the one who is ever living and who does not die. Very clear proof that Allah Azza wa Jal will never cease to exist. The next verse that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned, in Surah Al-Talaq verse 3, he says, وَمَنْ يَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ فَهُوَ حَسْبُ, that whoever depends on Allah, Allah is sufficient for him. So when you depend and rely on him, he is sufficient for you. If you depend on other than Allah Azza wa Jal, and you put your dependence on the creation instead of the Creator, instead of the Creator Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he will leave you to that which you are depending on. And what is going to happen sooner or later, you are not going to get what you want to achieve or receive. The next verse that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned, he says, this is a very beautiful verse. That is from the 8th chapter of the Quran. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, second verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, إِنَّمَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا ذُكِرَ اللَّهُ وَجِلَتْ قُلُوبُهُمْ وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. Allah here gives us the definition of a true believer. Innama, for sure, certainty, surely, indeed. Innama al-mu'minun, the believers, are those alladhina idha dhukira Allah, whenever Allah is mentioned, his teachings or his name, idha dhukira Allah, Allah is mentioned, their hearts become fearful. Wajilat qulubuhum. Their hearts are moved. Unfortunately, there are many people whose hearts are not moved. They're like rocks. Whether you mention Allah, you mention the Prophet ﷺ, you mention death, you mention Judgment Day, their hearts are like rocks. These people need to worry. They have, يعني, the Salaf al-Salih, our pious predecessors, some of them, if you said to them, ittaqillah, if you said to them, fear Allah, and let's say they had, for example, something in their hand. If you said to them, fear Allah, whatever was in their hand would fall out of the fear. You just said to me, fear Allah. Many of us, unfortunately, we are so far away from this. وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِاللَّهِ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ, and the believers, when his verses are recited, زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا, their iman increases. So the true believer is one whereby when he listens to a verse from the Qur'an, or he reads a verse from the Qur'an, then his iman should increase, not decrease. Iman should increase. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَعَلَىٰ رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ, and upon their Lord or their Rabb they rely. And that is the point that Imam al-Nawawi is pointing out here. Allah says in this verse that one of the qualities of a believer, one of the qualities, and there are many other qualities, but we don't have time to go through them, but one of the qualities of a believer is that he puts his trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. He knows that after hardship, there will become ease. That he's not going to go about and behaving and conducting himself in a way that is displeasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. So we must believe in our hearts. So here, وَعَلَى رَبِّهِمْ يَتَوَكَّلُونَ. When we talk about this tawakkul, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or this belief, it is about believing all the things that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said, and all the things that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam has said, and accepting them. And accepting them. Those, they are the ones who depend, of course, solely on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Imam al-Nawawi, he mentioned some prophetic gems. He mentioned some hadith, inshallah ta'ala, we'll wrap up with some of the hadith that Imam al-Nawawi rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned in the chapter of Yaqeen and Tawakkul. And the first hadith that I want to just share with you is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu wa arda, which is found in Bukhari and Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, I was shown the past nations, and I saw a prophet who had a very small group. In other words, less than 10 in total with him. Another prophet who was accompanied by only one or two men, and some didn't even have one follower. So the prophets and messengers that came before Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they had different number of followings. Some had no followers. Some had one. Some had a few. Some had multiple followers, many followers, multitude of followers. And suddenly I was shown a huge crowd, and I thought they were my ummah. I thought they were my people, my followers. But I was told that this is Musa and his people. But look towards the other side. I looked and beheld a great assemblage, a great deal of people. I was told, these are your people, and amongst them there are 70,000 who will enter Jannah without being taken into account or taken to account or torment. 70,000 of those people will go straight to Jannah. Straight ticket. Straight to Jannah. No accountability, no torment, nothing. 70,000 Muslims will go. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he stood up and he went into his apartment. And the companions began to guess who may be those who would enter Jannah without any accounting or torment. Wow, 70, who could they be? Who could they possibly be who will enter Jannah just like that? So some of them, they said, probably they are the ones who kept company with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. You know, close proximity with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the Sahaba. Others, they said, probably they are the ones who have been born as Muslims and have never associated anyone with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in worship, because they knew that shirk is the worst crime. Those who have never committed shirk. Then the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam came out and he asked, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, what are you discussing? What are you guys discussing? And so they told him, and then he said, referring to those 70,000, he said, they are those who do not make ruqya, which is blowing over themselves after reciting the Quran, or some prayers and supplications, the Prophet ﷺ used to say, nor seek it. So those, they don't do ruqya on themselves, and they don't even seek the ruqya for others to do this recital upon them. Nor perceive omens. So, in other words, they are not pessimistic people. But they keep their trust in their Rabb. But they keep their reliance is on Allah Azza wa Jalla. They always depend on Allah Azza wa Jalla. And this is why Imam al-Nawawi mentioned this hadith here. Because of this very statement. They trust Allah Azza wa Jalla. They always put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. On this, one of the Sahaba, Ukasha, his name is Ukasha ibn Mihsan, he stood up and he said, Ya Rasulullah, pray to Allah, pray to Allah to make me one of them. The Prophet ﷺ said, Anta minhum, Allahu Akbar. Already one out of the 70,000. One of them is Ukasha ibn Mihsan. He said, you are one of them. Then another man stood up. And he said the same thing, and so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he said the famous statement, he said, Sabakaka biha Ukasha. Ukasha has already beaten you. So he already has my dua, and he has my blessing that he is one of them, but now, you've missed out to be one of those in my dua. So, the point here is, the importance of having trust in Allah Azza wa Jal could make you included is one of the 70,000 who will go. Another report says that each one of those 70,000 will take 70,000. Allahu Alam. Another hadith Ibn Abbas also radiallahu anhuma, found in Bukhari and Muslim as well. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to make a dua. And from amongst the dua of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we should memorize, Allahumma laka aslamtu, wa bika amantu, وَعَلَيْكَ تَوَكَّلْتُ وَإِلَيْكَ أَنَبْتُ وَبِكَ خَاصَمْتُ اللَّهُمَّ إِنِّي أَعُوذُ بِعِزَّتِكَ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنْتَ أَنْ تُضِلَّنِي أَنْتَ الْحَيُّ الَّذِي لَا يَمُوتُ وَالْجِنُّ وَالْإِنْسُ يَمُوتُونَ. In this dua, the Prophet ﷺ, he told us to say, "O Allah, to you I have submitted, and in you do I believe, and in you I put my trust. To you do I turn, and for you I argued. O Allah, I seek refuge with you through your power. There is none worthy of worship except you alone, and you safeguard me against going astray. You are the ever-living, the one who sustains and protects all that exists, the one who never dies, whereas human beings and jinn will all die." Beautiful dua to memorize. In another hadith, is the hadith of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, found in Sahih Bukhari. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, it said here, that when the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when Prophet Ibrahim alayhi sallam, Abraham, when Prophet Ibrahim, when Abraham was thrown into the fire, he said, what did he say? He said, "Allah alone is sufficient for us, and He is the best of disposer of affairs. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." He said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." Remember when his people, they gathered a massive fire to bring an end to Ibrahim after he smashed their idols. And they catapulted him into the fire. But Allah Azza wa Jal, He said to the fire, "Kuni lahu bardan wa salama." Be cold, not too cold. Be cold and be peaceful. Bardan wa salaman ala Ibrahim. And the fire never harmed Ibrahim alayhi salam. Because the fire, Allah Azza wa Jal commanded it not to harm. So he said, so did the Messenger of Allah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was told a great army of the pagans had gathered against you that we spoke about before. What did Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? He said the same thing that Ibrahim before him said, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." So when you hear of a bad news that is something that may befall you, you say, "Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil." What are you saying here? You are saying, and you are acknowledging that Allah is sufficient for us, and He is the best disposer of affairs. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, يعني, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from amongst those who always depend on Him and have tawakkul and yaqeen on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So in the worst of circumstances, brothers and sisters in Islam, one should have faith and trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi included, hand-picked for this topic, is the hadith of Abu Huraira radiallahu anhu wa arda, which is found in Sahih Muslim. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Yadkhulu al-jannata aqwamun af'idatuhum mithlu af'idati at-tayr." He said, a group of people, meaning both men and women, whose hearts will be like the hearts of birds will enter Jannah. It has been interpreted that such people are those who put their trust in Allah Azza wa Jalla. And another narration are those who have tender hearts, good hearts towards other people. They'll enter Jannah. Another hadith that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned, which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, it is the hadith of Jabir radiallahu anhu, who reported, "I went in an expedition along with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the direction of Najd. When the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam returned, I also returned with him. Then the midday sleep overtook us in a valley full of prickly shrubs. The Messenger of Allah got down and the people scattered around seeking shade under the trees. The Prophet ﷺ, he hung up his sword on the branch of a tree. We were enjoying a sleep when the Messenger of Allah ﷺ called us. And lo, there was a desert Arab Bedouin near him. He, the Prophet ﷺ, said, 'This man brandished my sword over me while I was asleep. I woke up and saw it in his hand unsheathed.'" So imagine now, he has the Prophet's sword in his hand and the Prophet is in front of him. He asked, "Who will protect you from me?" The man is asking, "Who's going to protect you?" He's asking the Prophet. And then he asked, and the Prophet ﷺ three times, he said, Allah, Allah, Allah. He had yaqeen, he had tawakkul in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he didn't punish him. In another narration, Jabir radiallahu anhu said, we accompanied the Prophet ﷺ in the campaign of Dhatul Riqa' and we left the Messenger of Allah ﷺ to take rest under the shade of a tree. One of the mushrikun, the polytheist, came to him. The sword of the Messenger of Allah ﷺ was hanging on a tree. He drew it and he said, are you afraid of me? The Messenger of Allah ﷺ said, no. Then he said, who will then protect you from me? And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he replied, Allah Azza wa Jal. In another narration of Abu Bakr al-Ismaili, the mushrik, he asked, who will protect you from me? And the Messenger of Allah, he said, Allah. And as soon as he said this, the sword fell down from his hand, and the Messenger of Allah caught the sword. Imagine that. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he caught the sword, and he asked him, who will protect you from me? You know, he cut back to, who's going to protect you now from me? So he said, forgive me. Forgive me. Messenger of Allah said, on the condition that you testify that there is no God worthy of worship except Allah. He said no. In other words, he wanted to stay a mushrik. But I promise you that I shall not fight against you, nor shall I be with any of those who will fight against you. And the Prophet said, let him go. And so this man, he went back to his people and his companions and he said, I have come to you from one of the best of mankind. Actions speak louder than words. This is the way that we introduce Islam to people, not by force. Islam was never spread by the sword. And so we show how Islam, the benevolence of Islam, the pardoning of Islam, the forgiveness of Islam. We see here how the gracious attitude that the Prophet ﷺ taught us to be with people. And the importance of utmost trust in Allah Azza wa Jal. Another hadith. It is found in Sunan al-Tirmidhi. It is the hadith of Umar radiallahu anhu, who said, I heard the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam saying, if you all depend on Allah with due reliance, haqqa tawakkilihi, he would certainly give you provision as he gives it to birds who go forth hungry in the morning and return with a full belly in the dusk. Think about the birds. Who gives food and drink towards birds? You know, a small sparrow. They set out in the morning looking for their food and drink. They depend on Allah Azza wa Jal. Allah Azza wa Jal is the provider. In another hadith, or another dua, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he teaches us when we go to bed, to go to sleep, he says, to say this dua, Allahumma aslamtu nafsi ilayk, wa wajjahtu wajhi ilayk, wa fawwattu amri ilayk, wa alja'tu dhahri ilayk, raghbatan wa rahbatan ilayk, la malja'a wa la manja minka illa ilayk, amantu bi kitabika alladhi anzalt, wa bi nabiyika alladhi arsalt. The Prophet ﷺ said, whoever says this dua, he said, whoever recites these words, and if a person dies that night in his sleep, if he dies, he would die in the true religion. In case he remains alive to the morning, he will obtain a great deal of goodness. Some beautiful words. O Allah, I have submitted myself to you. I have turned my face to you, entrusted my affairs to you, and committed my back to you out of desire for you and fear of you, expecting your reward and fearing your punishment. There is no refuge and no place of safety from you but with you. I believe in the book you have revealed, in the prophet you have sent. Another hadith, which is found in Bukhari and Muslim, it's the hadith of Abu Bakr as-Siddiq radiallahu anhu wa arda, that when the Messenger of Allah and I were in the cave of Thawr, I saw the feet of the polytheists, the mushrikun, who were above us at the mouth of the cave, that was on the eve of the migration. I submitted, O Messenger of Allah, if one of them were to look down below his feet, he would see us. So here the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, O Abu Bakr, what do you think of two whose third is Allah? He said, مَا ظَنُّكَ يَا أَبَا بَكْرِ بِثْنَيْنِ اللَّهُ ثَالِثُهُمَا Allah is the third. Allah is there. He'll look after us. And this happened when when the Prophet ﷺ was migrating with Abu Bakr. He was the last. Abu Bakr and the Prophet ﷺ were the last to leave Mecca. And they were headed towards Medina. And the mushrikun, they had some money, huge reward. Whoever can capture the Prophet ﷺ and Abu Bakr, you know, dead or alive, huge reward. And so they had to actually at one point come into a cave, which is known as the Cave of Thawr. And they hid in the cave. And the mushrikun were actually at the mouth of the cave. And Abu Bakr can see their feet. And he's really worried now about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Not worried about himself. And so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam reminds him about the importance of tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Depend on Allah. Even in a situation, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make people blind. He can really not let them see something which is probably so obvious. But you just have to have firm belief and tawakkul on Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There are other ad'iyah that Imam al-Nawawi mentioned. And ahadith that I encourage you, inshallah ta'ala, to memorize and to remember. But the last hadith that I want to mention, that he mentioned, is the hadith of Anas radiallahu anhu in Sunan al-Tirmidhi, that there were two brothers in the days of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and one of them used to attend the Prophet's circle, that is to seek knowledge. And the other used to earn their living. So one of them is going out, one of the brothers is going out to earn a living, and one of them is attending the masjid and attending the study circles. And once the latter, yani the one who is going out, yani earning a living, he complained to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam against his brother. You know, he doesn't earn a living. I'm always the one that's going out there earning a living. He's got it easy. You know, he just seeks the knowledge, and I have to go and do all the hard work, and I have to provide for him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he replied, he said, لَعَلَّكَ تُرْزَقُ بِهِ Perhaps you are being provided because of him. So this money that you're earning and this job that you have, maybe it's because of your brother that you have this job. So what this also teaches us is that if you are helping somebody to seek knowledge, if you are contributing to building, you know, a believer, to building a da'i, a shaykh, or someone who's working in the cause of Allah, Allah Azza wa Jal may be blessing your wealth by giving your money to an Islamic organization who is doing da'wah. You can't do da'wah yourself. You're not eloquent. You don't have the resources or the skills, but you have money. Then you could be making a financial contribution, and Allah Azza wa Jal in return blesses your money. In hand is learning and you have to spend on them. Or maybe Allah Azza wa Jal is actually helping you. And subhanAllah, how it becomes a win-win situation whereby you become a winner and that person is a winner and the community is a winner as a result of the efforts and the fruits of the da'wah that this person has gained. So do think of these hadiths. I remind myself, I remind you all, my dear brothers and sisters, about the importance of having yaqeen, certainty in Allah Azza wa Jal, believing in what Allah Azza wa Jal has stated in the Quran and through the words of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what they have prophesied, and to view these things and to look at them as if you can see them. And this is the highest level of Islam, which is ihsan. We ask Allah Azza wa Jal to give us firm understanding of this deen, to give us sound knowledge in accordance with the teachings of Islam, the Quran and the Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wa sallallahu wa sallama wa baraka ala nabiyyina Muhammad. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.